Romans chapter 14 will fit in with the rest of tonight's lesson. I guess in case of fact, your assignment for the whole evening is to figure out how the whole thing fits together as I present it. So, as been announced, my part of the lesson is on kindness. And I'm going to begin by reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're all very familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. At least I believe that we are. We've been through it a lot of times. We've talked about it. And I'd like to start in verse 3 of chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I give my body, or deliver, it says, my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So I'm giving all that I have to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but I don't have love, I am nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, like you, I'm sure, I've read that passage of Scripture a lot of times, and I never really thought very much about what it would be to give your body to be burned. That's not something that we do, and we're Christians. But if we do great things, we have no profit unless we have love. So I gave some thought to the part about the body being burned, scratched around, and lo and behold, there's a group that gave their bodies to be burned. And they survived. That's found in Daniel. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put into the fiery furnace, and they survived that by their faith and by their love. So we just read that love is patient and love is kind. But there are a lot of things that love is not. A great many things that it's not than it is. It's not jealous. Does not brag. Not arrogant. Did not act unbecomingly. You all know what that is, right? You act like a decent person. You act like a Christian. Does not seek its own. So you put yourself before another. Not provoked. We all know what it's like to be provoked, I'm sure. Because we were all kids at one time, right? And had siblings, generally. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Boy, if somebody does us wrong, lots of times we're pretty quick to point that out. Or at least whine about it a bit. But patient and kind are two proactive words. They're busy words, aren't they? Mark had an excellent lesson this morning on patience. And if you listen to it, you discover that it's something that you have to work at. Being kind is the same thing. It's a proactive thing. It's something that you have to think about. You have to be doing. Our lesson tonight is based on a study of the fruits of the Spirit as found in Galatians chapter 5 and 22 and verse 23 also. Love is one of those fruits, and so is kindness. I find it very interesting that kindness and patience are combined together, are components or parts, are characteristics of love. I never really thought about that very much. Love seems like such a simple word, doesn't it? But if you love someone, you are patient with them, and you show kindness to them. As I said, my lesson will focus on kindness tonight. The act of being kind, the state of being kind, the quality of being kind, the habit of being kind. We all know what acts of being kind are, right? When we do kind things. Is it legal to define a word using the word? When I was in high school, it was not. So being kind is doing good things towards others, thinking good thoughts towards others. It's a state of being. It's a busy kind of thing. It's something that you're doing all the time. You're thinking about it so that you can be proactive in what you're doing. It is a quality. It's something that you carry in your heart. It's not something that you just happen upon, just kind of out of the blue, and you do it once in a while. It's something that you do all the time. It's part of you. It's a quality. It's a habit. Kindness is a quality. It's a habit. It's an act of being. It's not something that comes lightly and accidentally. Acts of being kind, a type of treatment directed towards another person or animal or groups of the same. Kindness can be anonymous. Doesn't have to be out there for everybody to see. What kinds of kindness would that be? But if you donate money to some charitable organization or to someone who has a need, could be a fellow Christian or brother or sister, or it could be just someone that you don't even know. If you give money to support their cause or to help them over a hard time, that's an anonymous form of kindness. It could be your time. It can be your money. It can be goods that you donate or give to another or use to effect a positive thing for another person. So, but it isn't always person to person, is it? Because there are all kinds of organizations out there that you can contribute to that are good, wholesome, and not necessarily what you call Christian, but they are benevolent and they do good works, which we as Christians can support. Food for Lane County in this area. Operation Smile is an international thing worldwide. Or Heifer. If you haven't heard of that, that's an organization that supplies animals to disadvantaged countries, to teach people how to care for themselves, provide for their own food by starting with young animals and growing through from that. So there are a lot of different ways that you can demonstrate kindness out front, towards everybody, person to person, or behind the scenes. Webster defines kind as sympathetic, as generous, gentle, tender-hearted, friendly, cordial. All of those are a form of kind, being kind. Kindly, has a general disposition in being agreeable, pleasant, with a benevolent attitude towards to do good. So kindly. It's a kindly person. Well, you expect that person does good. Kind-hearted. Resulting from being or from having a particular type of heart that is sympathetic and or generous. So all of those words are building up to our word tonight, kindness. Kindly, kind-hearted. We've all known people like these. Mothers and grandmothers, fathers, grandfathers, uncles and aunts. These are the easy ones. These people just can't help themselves, right? It's hard to imagine a grandmother or a grandfather that does not think kindly or exercise kindness toward their grandchildren. I know there are some out there, and it just blows me away. But by and large, those are the ones that you expect to show kindness. Like I said, they just can't help themselves. But then there are friends and neighbors and your co-workers. We've all known people in those particular situations who demonstrate kindness or are kind people. And there are strangers. Mark gave us a good example of one this morning. That's that driver that will let you cut in front of them in heavy traffic. We all drive in traffic, and Eugene has got some of the worst traffic during a rush hour. And me being probably the best driver in the United States, I have difficulty with being patient. So I appreciate Mark's words this morning. So I have to think about being kind to other drivers that are around me, those people who are busy texting or on their cell phones or just cutting in and out in front of you because they think if they can get one space in front of you that they're going to get home sooner, just for whatever reason. So I have to work at being kind and thinking kindly towards those people. And why do I want to do that? So what if somebody cut me off? I'm on the way to the building. And I just lay on the horn, boy, and I get right up on their bumper, and I am just so upset with them. And I turn in to the Church of Christ that meets at Tandy Road. A person, if they happen to look in their mirror, they're never going to want to come here. If that's the kind of people that meet here, I don't want to be here. That's what they're thinking. And believe me, I've said this before and I'll continue to see it. People see, people watch, people remember. Doesn't matter if it's your coworker, your next door neighbor, perfect stranger. They remember. And the reason that I know that, because I remember. You remember too. So, why are people generally so kind to animals? A lot of you have pets, and you think a great deal of them, don't you? Well, I think it's because animals return love for devotion, for acts of kindness directed at them. And they are non-judgmental, aren't they? You reach down and pet that little dog that's trying to jump up on your leg or jump in your lap or whatever. I mean, they act like you've been their friend for life. That's just the way animals are unless they've been abused. And when abused animals are treated with kindness, they reflect it. Kind people come from all walks of life. Pay it forward. I don't know that was a Christian that started that movement. Seems like it was a little kid, if I remember right. But that's really caught on, hasn't it? Think about all the different disasters and tragedies that have Well, they're ongoing right now. Floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, wildfires down in California. You see people that go down to the grocery store and buy food and take it to a fire station to send down to the fire lines. They do anything. Some people respond that way to help maybe a person over in Springfield that was just burned out, lost everything they had. They will just right out of the goodness of their heart, kindness of their heart, respond without someone coming up and, would you help us? Would you give us money to do this, that, or the other thing? And in fact, we just had a case down in Cresswell. Was it this last week? A woman, well, it's actually happened several months ago, but a woman lost her husband, and this man, who had no knowledge, previous knowledge of the woman, had compassion on her. He wanted to help her, so he wrote a check for $5,000. But he wanted to be anonymous. He didn't want to, you know, grab a lot of attention for what he'd done. So he contacted this woman's best friend and said, will you give this money to her? She said, sure. Yeah, I'm glad to do that. So if you watched the news or saw this on the news, you'll know what that woman did. So the lady who was to be the recipient of this gift got on Facebook and said, thank you, thank you, thank you, whoever donated $2,500 to me. God bless you. Boy, social media will get you every time, won't it? I wonder what happened to that other $2,500. Well, it went in the pocket of that woman's so-called best friend. That's where it went. Well, it didn't work out very good for that gal in the long run. So, you know, that's just another example of watch out what you do, because people see it, they find out about it, they hear about it. So pay it forward. People are interested in being kind, generally speaking. That's not to say that everyone is, that's for sure. But as Christians, as disciples of our God, of our disciples of Jesus Christ, we are to be kind. We are to have that mindset in us. So I have a question here. So what's the case for being kind? Well, I just kind of laid out some of them. Everyone likes, everyone appreciates a person that lives kindness. If you have two sets of grandparents, which I never really did, and certainly my wife didn't either, but lots of times you'll have one set of grandparents who's just over the top, your favorite. That's because they're so kind and generous and loving. And then there's that other grandparent, grandmother, grandfather, whatever, that's not. So who's going to be your favorite? Who are you going to go run into when you hear that grandma's here? You're going to be excited to see that person. Like the people that let you into traffic, you're going to appreciate them, aren't you? Those who put themselves in harm's way for you. Now, I'm not talking about the Army or the Navy or the Air Force here. I'm talking about that person on the street, that man or woman, or even that child that steps up and puts themselves in a situation where they can be harmed, but to do you good, that is their focus. The person that's courteous and a person who is forgiving. That last one especially, that's you and you and you and you and me, is so important that we be forgiving. Well, you say, give me a better example. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 7 begins, in a brief moment, I forsook you. Previously in Isaiah chapter 53, the writer there is speaking on the coming of God's exalted. God's exalted servant. Continuing on in 54 and verse 7. But with great compassion, I will gather you. In an outburst of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting, loving kindness, I will have compassion on you. Loving kindness. Lots of times, and especially in the Old Testament, loving and kindness are connected together. It's everlasting. Isaiah says it's everlasting. And God has compassion on us. This is God's grace towards mankind. So what was Isaiah writing about there in chapter 54? We use it a lot when we partake of the Lord's Supper. And we'll speak on that and read Isaiah 54. Because that is a picture of the coming of the Christ. In Isaiah 54 and verse 10, Isaiah writes, okay, here we go. I mark all these things and do everything I can, and then I still have to hunt for them. Isaiah 54 and verse 10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake. There's a lot of that been happening lately, hasn't there? There's been tsunamis, earthquakes, fires. But my loving kindness will not be removed from you. And my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord. That's Jehovah, says Jehovah, who has compassion on you. Jehovah our God has compassion on us. And he writes that his loving kindness will not be removed. Regardless of what happens on this earth and to this earth, his loving kindness will go on forever and ever. In Joel chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. Joel writes, even now, declares Jehovah, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning. And rend your heart, not your garments. You remember the old Jew when he was repenting, when he was wanted to demonstrate anguish, he would rip his garments as a show. But the writer here says, rend your heart and not your garments. That's something that we can do. Now return to Jehovah your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. Relenting of evil. So God's character, as Joel writes, involves grace. God is gracious. God is compassionate. He has compassion on his creation. God is slow to anger. Hallelujah. Praise that. Praise God for that. He is abounding in loving kindness. If you're abounding in something, it's not, you don't have just a little bit. You're pretty full of it, and that's our God. And God is relenting of evil. So to relent something is like to give it up. But if you look at this phrase there in Joel, it means that God will forgive. He won't hold a grudge. If you repent, God's ready there and willing to take us back. In Psalms 86, David says, "Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness to all who call on thee." So it takes a little effort on our part, doesn't it? What an example. What a God. And David was ready, willing, and able to reach out and call for God, for God's forgiveness. Greater thing can no one do than lay down their life for another. I've thought about this from time to time. If there would ever be a situation where that I would do such a thing. And it's not easy to just say, yeah, I'd do it. No problem. It doesn't work that way, does it? Something that you would put a lot of thought into. Romans chapter 13, the writer says, to owe no nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. In verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Many places in the New Testament we read, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the whole of the law. Love does no wrong. Have you ever heard it said of doctors, especially back in old times, say in the 1800s, that the doctor's motto or his focus, his emphasis, his desire should be, do no harm. Doctor, do no harm. Well, I read a really interesting book on James Garfield, one of the presidents of the United States. He was president elected in 1881. In that era, that's about 15 years after the Civil War, isn't it? After the Civil War in the United States, everything just didn't turn around right away. We didn't have instant prosperity. We didn't have instant peace. We were in turmoil. People were trying to grab everything that they could get. You've heard of carpetbaggers. They went south to try to get rich off of the people, off plunder the land. That's what they were doing. So, and it was this way in politics too. In politics, they moved to an era of, a merit system in politics, which means like, you do me a favor and when I get in office, you can have this job. And that's the way politics ran. That's the way President Hayes, Rutherford B. Hayes, ran the government. This was the president right before Garfield. And the government was just rife with corruption. And Garfield was a well-known man in the country. He was known as a man of integrity, of honesty, love, and compassion. And he didn't want to be president. They basically forced him to run for president. He did not even campaign to be president. But, okay, he was. And I have to tell you, this book that I read about Garfield, I was just so happy and excited when I read it and the things that he did. And by the time I finished the book, I was so discouraged. What happened is, 4 months after Garfield was put into office, he was shot. Attempted assassination at a railroad station. Well, his wound was not life-threatening. At this time in medicine, in the United States especially, a doctor would come in off the streets. He might have just wiped his horse down, or maybe he rubbed the mud off of his pants or his boots, and he went in and treated the patient, which whether it was surgery, whether it was tonsillitis, or whether treating a wound. And the doctor that treated Garfield, the first thing he did when he went to treat Garfield was to stick his finger in the bullet wound to find out where the bullet went. That was normal procedure. In fact, they even had tools that they could kind of fish around, because if they could get the bullet out, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to keep it from becoming worse. Infection, right? Well, if you stick your fingers in an open wound without sterilizing them, what do you think is going to happen? The reason I'm telling this story is because in Europe there was a big movement to sterilize yourself before you did any operating. And the doctors in America, and especially this particular one that treated Garfield, he said, those people over there, they don't know anything. We're the doctors over here, and I'm the best there is. I'm going to treat the president. And the first thing he did was infect the president. And he lived approximately, I think it was about 3 months. But he died from that wound, a wound that was not fatal. If he hadn't have been treated at all, he would have survived. If they had left the bullet in there, he would have survived. But this doctor probed that man every day to try to figure out where the bullet went. And in the end, he became so infected that he died from that infection. Garfield did. And that's why I got so discouraged, because this doctor was so busy not thinking about actually saving a life and doing good. He was thinking about all the honors that he was going to glean from being the person that saved the president. Well, do no harm. Love does no wrong. Being kind requires one to put others before self. To do this, we must prepare. We must think ahead. The reading was from Romans 14, and in verse 7 it says, not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. In verse 21 of that reading, it says, it is good not to eat meat. Remember, the discussion was eating meat, whether it was good or bad, whether it was sinful or not. But Paul writes, it is good not to eat meat or to drink wine, or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. That's pretty powerful if you think about that. You think about how you live your life and how you present yourself to people. Don't be a stumbling block. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, and he's talking to Peter. Where am I? In verse 23, he's turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. I'm not going to go into what the situation was there, but the important fact is, important part of that statement is, that Jesus said that Peter was not focused on God, but he was focused on man. We need to be focused on God. Appearance, actions, people are watching us. Love does no wrong. Don't be a stumbling block. If God did not spare the natural branches, which are the Jews, this is found in Romans chapter 11, verse 21. Neither will he spare you, Gentile Christians, who he's talking to. Behold then the kindness of God and the severity of God. To those who fell, they fell because of unbelief, severity. But to you, you Gentile Christians, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you'll also be cut off. What is God's kindness? God's kindness is salvation. God's kindness is eternal life. If you care to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. I'd like to read verses 12 and 13. As those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put in a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Now, I don't think we fall into that situation here in this congregation. I don't think we have any rows going on where we're blaming each other for anything. But we can apply that beyond this group right here. We can apply that to people around us. We should be forgiving. We should have a heart of compassion, kindness, and humility, a heart of gentleness and patience, as those who have been chosen of God. 1 Peter 2, verse 3. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, verse 2. Grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. That's a direct, you could call it a, well, you know what I mean. Do it. Command, a direct command. But it's an encouragement that we should grow in respect of salvation. If we have tasted the kindness of the Lord's salvation. So what is the kindness of the Lord? It's goodness and mercy and grace and forgiveness. And it's faithfulness. God is faithful. In one of the Psalms, David praises God for his faithfulness. Lots of times we think about faithfulness in terms of ourselves towards God. But David praised God for his faithfulness, which means God will do, God does do what he says he'll do. He doesn't choose sides. He doesn't have this little book over here and say, Bob's not doing very well. I'm just going to kick him to the curb. No, he doesn't do that. He's patient. He gives Bob time to get his act together. In Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 7. When the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. When the kindness of God and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Lastly, and the lesson will be yours, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men or women, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Boy, that's true today as it was then, isn't it? These days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even to the Father. Amen. Be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. Let us do that. Let us be known as a people, a kind people, filled with God's kindness. Let us show that in everything that we do, as we walk along, not even thinking about anything. Let's show the world that we are kind and that we are God's people and that we love one another. The lesson is yours. Thank you very much.